It's time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton, the WPKY studios. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for joining us this morning. We're going to start the show running. We've got Jay Davis in the studio with us this morning. And Jay, good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Todd. Good to be here.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
You are the assigning secretary for basketball in the second region, right?
No.
Not anymore?
Not anymore. Football only.
Football only. Okay.
I still works in basketball. No, Dwayne Crick has been the he's been the assigner since for several years after he replaced me. So, but okay. Now I still work some for him and help him out on nights when it's over, when he needs some staff.
I got you.
Need some staff.
But we're going to talk to you about basketball rules anyway, right?
Yes, sir. Yes,
because
sir.
We have some new things for high school basketball this season.
Got some new things, and then some what the National Federation High School Sports calls points of emphasis. Sometimes those may be the same they've been every year for 10 years, but there's some things in there that have created some concerns across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And as you and I talked back in July, the extreme shortage of officials affects the scheduling of games for the student athletes.
Well, has there been any progress in that area? Has there been a few more people show up to maybe want to referee or call games?
I know that in volleyball, Chuck had, I think, three new people. But in volleyball this year, and three of the assigners are guys that their people buy their equipment from me, the second, third, and fourth regions, there were three and four people off each staff going, as Jamie said, they had people in Bowling Green coming to Hopkinsville to help out with a tournament. And people coming from, Jamie helped do a tournament at Apollo first weekend of the season. So the ability to help out is, and that's what I did. I had, out of the 11 weeks of football scheduling, we had 5 weeks in our region where everybody couldn't play on Friday. Games were moved to – most people moved to Thursday. Mm-hmm. We had a couple Saturday night games. And but my numbers, I had four brand spanking new officials. Mm-hmm. And Todd, every one of them worked eight or nine games this year. Not varsity two of them actually worked a couple varsity games. One of them's working umpire tomorrow night in a game, and he came along faster than some of the others. But the shortage, short answer to your question, it hasn't shown any reason. And one of the things I'll share a little bit later is the average age of officials. Now you can look out on the field and you see it's some of the same people that have been around for 20, 25 years.
Well, and the shortage is pretty much across the board, right? I mean, it's like every sport.
It's every sport. It's more noticeable. I know wrestling right now. He's struggling, and he does one and two, just like Mr. Green does for soccer. And the problem may be I got six or seven in Paducah, but they don't want to drive to Hopkinsville or Union County. Don't rather go to Hoptown than Union County to get there. And you've got Union County's got a few officials because they have the great program over there for wrestlers, so they have a lot of interest. But it's pretty much across the board. Yes, sir.
Well, talk about some of the new rules coming for high school basketball this season, because I think a lot of people, if they haven't heard about it, are going to be a little surprised when they show up on game night and see things done a little differently.
Yes, sir. The biggest one they will notice is there's no longer a bonus free throw awarded in high school. The previous rule was once you reach the seventh team foul in both halves, then you went to the 1-1. Now it'll be by quarter, And on the fifth foul of each quarter, when you commit the fifth foul, the other team will get two free throws. Primarily, according to the what they sent out, it just says the purpose or the rationale for the rule is improves the flow of the game and also minimizes risk of injury by eliminating the one-on-one, reducing opportunities for rough play in the post.
Yeah.
And I think the only place now you still see a one-on-one is in men's college basketball. Women have changed their rule. They don't do one-on-ones. Wow. When they went to quarters, they did a similar rule change. But NBA hasn't had a bonus in a long time. They do – you get one for the free throw for a foul and a shot, or when they go to the penalty, they go to two shots.
Well, I've missed three to make two for a long time. Do you remember that rule?
Yes, sir. Yeah, three to make two in the NBA was a rule. The throw-in spot, fans won't notice it much. We've talked among ourselves as officials, and this is a rule that the NBA's had for a long time. And as you asked who I was talking to when I come in, I was talking to Kelly, and he asked about the rule changes, and I told him, and he said, well, men's basketball, NCAA, has been doing this. This is their third or fourth year to have this rule. And instead of – if it just goes out of bounds off a deflection or something, we'll go to the spot and put it back in like we've always done. But if there's a violation or a foul, it's either going to go to the 28-foot mark on the side or 3 foot off of the free throw lane line extended on the baseline. There's four spots we'll do a throw in. So people won't notice that as much as an adjustment for us as officials instead of always designating a spot at the wrong place, maybe.
Well, I think coaches would probably pick up on that because from a strategic standpoint, I think I'd rather inbound the ball from the baseline than out near midcourt.
Right. And it won't be the rationale for the rule change is actually to not penalize the defense. If they deflect a ball and it goes out in the deep corner, that's why we're staying at that spot. That's not a great place to make a throw in from.
Yeah.
So the rules committee felt like we were penalizing the defense if they made a good play on defense. But for a foul or a violation, these other spots will be there. The other uniform changes are things, or they're always messing with uniform stuff because they like for they prefer that we be the uniform police than the coaches.
Yeah.
So they'll let them wear something out there knowing we're going to come and tell them to take it off, so we're the bad guy. But as you've seen, some schools don't I'll use Lyon County. It's hard for them to maybe match an undershirt to the away color because everybody wears white at home, so you wear a white undershirt. So this year you can either wear one that exactly matches your shirt or you can wear black.
Okay.
Campbell 2 years ago came out with camouflage shirts on underneath. So.
but everybody has to wear the same, right? You can't have some with purple and some with black.
Right. Everybody will have – but all of them ultimately have to wear the same thing. But that's the gist of the big rule changes and the biggest – I know you'll have to go to a commercial, so feel free. But one of the biggest things right now across the country is trying to readdress sportsmanship. Mm. 4 years ago, they went to if you do a bench warning, you go write it in the scorebook, and the coach knows their bench has been warned, as everybody else does, too. It was a good tool for a couple of years, and then it kind of just fell out of officials' toolbox, if you will. And so over the last couple of years, there have been, I think Julian said a couple of weeks ago in a meeting that there were the ejections of coaches was three times in 21 what it had been in 18 and 19. And last year it wasn't up as much. But the one that's really been disturbing more so than that is the player ejections and the number of technical fouls called in games. So that's a point of emphasis this year is the coaching box. And they can go from the end line to the 28-foot mark. They just can't go all the way to midcourt or come out on the court. And trying to Dwayne, when I asked him the other day, he has three new officials this year. He lost five, either due to retirement or work conditions have changed. And in the meantime, the number of games for our region has increased. Heritage Christian Academy is now a full-time member, so he picked up two more varsity teams with that addition. So now he's got 17 schools, girls and boys varsity, JV, freshman games to assign. He doesn't do middle school assignments. And he's got a little bit of an aging staff as well. Not as much as the football staff is, but does have an aging staff.
We're talking with Jay Davis this morning. We do need to get to a break on the show. We'll come back and have more right after this. Stay with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
As a bank that's been part of the Caldwell County communities for almost 140 years, we've seen many changes. As we celebrate First Southern's first 40 years as an organization, we know any achievements we have had are because of the customers we worked alongside. We affirm our commitment to the shared values that brought us here. We look forward to spending the next 40 years and beyond serving you. For more information, visit fsmb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're your locally owned Benjamin Moore retailer. We're your store for quality with brilliant and durable paints in a variety of sheens and thousands of colors. We're your store for service with one-on-one advice for contractors and homeowners. We're your local experts, and we're here to help with all your painting projects. Benjamin Moore at Joiner Hardware on Main Street in Princeton.
The weatherman says it's time to get out of the house. Goodwin Insurance wants you to know they can insure all your toys. Boats, jet skis, ATVs, golf carts, well, you get the point. Goodwin Insurance is dedicated to finding you the best policy with the best service at an affordable price. Insure your toys with Goodwin so all you have to worry about is the fun. Contact them today for a quote.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
Hi, this is Jim Lancaster with H&R AgriPower. For a limited time, take advantage of 0% financing for 84 months on new Case IH Farmall tractors. Now is the time to get a great deal on a new tractor that works as hard as you, Case IH Farmall. Whether you're mowing, baling, feeding, loading, you name it, we have the tractor for you. Stop by and see us at H&R AgriPower in Hopkinsville today and talk to our sales team about the limited time financing offer you don't want to miss.
While supplies last, customers must qualify for program with CNHI Capital.
Hi, this is Allie Coleman with First Southern National Bank, here to share about our new Fab Lanes. We are excited that this new technology allows us to offer quicker transactions, extended hours, and shorter wait times for our customers. You can now access many banking features from the comfort of your car, while a live teller delivers the same high level of exceptional customer service we've offered for the last 40 years. Come experience a new way to bank with us. For more information, visit fsmb.net, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. Brought to you by the Kentucky High School Athletic Association and the Kentucky Athletic Administrators Association.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580-103.3 WPKY. Thanks a lot for joining us this morning. We've got Jay Davis in the studio with us talking about some rule changes coming up for basketball. And, Jay, you mentioned the change to the free throw rule, and I could actually see that maybe speeding up the game because sometimes in the past a team would get in the bonus in the third period. Well, they'd be shooting free throws for the rest of the night, and it just becomes a free throw shooting contest. Right. And this kind of frees up the fourth quarter a little bit.
It does. It does. And the second and fourth quarters hopefully will move along quicker because you won't have those fouls that carry over. If you do go into overtime, whatever, wherever you were at the end of the fourth quarter, just carries over into the fourth quarter. Todd, one plug, and you and I talked about this in July. if there's people out there that played or have an interest, or you were a parent and you loved the game and now the kids, whatever sport it was, there are some great opportunities, and we're trying to do a better job of coaches and athletic directors and even some of our principals that have been coaches before or played are trying to guide some of their seniors as they graduate, you know, call if you want to do football, or, you know, get a hold of Jay if you want, or Dwayne if you want to do basketball. In other times, I mean, my first exposure to officiating was 14 years old, umpiring Little League Baseball. There's still a movement for that. The Kentucky High School Athletic Association this year initiated a program for 18 and unders. So actually, if you're 14 to 18 years old, you can register with the Kentucky High School Athletic Association. Now, you're not eligible to work high school, but you are eligible to work middle school sports. Mm-hmm. And with that, you make a little money. You can you won't be out there with another person the same age. You're going to be out there with a licensed adult official to help you manipulate the rules, and if there's issues, help you handle the issues. This was been an experimental rule in a couple other states. Tennessee tried it a couple years ago. They've actually gone away a little bit from doing it in basketball. The issue became not as much coaches and players. It was the people in the stands that were I don't like the term abusive, but I'll just say verbally abusive. And we had two officials in high school basketball. One of them last year was really doing a good job. And after the JV basketball game at the school, he goes out to his car, and a parent follows him out of the gym into the parking lot and verbally abuses him. He felt like he might escalate. He just kept walking to his car. This is a 22-year-old young man who's working full-time, mm-hmm. went to trade school out of high school, and loves officiating. He's actually working football for me this year. But he wasn't going to go back and do basketball this year. And some of us older people said, let's give it another chance. And, Todd, I've got to compliment our ADs in this area. Over the last 2 and 3 years, there have been some changes that they've implemented at our request as assigners. Baseball's bad. Baseball and softball, you go out and dress in the parking lot with the same people that have been sitting in the stands watching you.
There are not any locker rooms.
No, there are not any locker rooms in baseball and softball in high schools. You can't go hide. You're out there with your trunk up or your back of your pickup truck, sitting there putting your clothes on or plate gear on or taking it off. So there is a national organization called the National Association of Sports Officials. Mm-hmm. Been in place since the early 80s. A lot of us belong. It has some insurance, both liability and also some accidental injury insurance that comes along with it. But it also has a great publication called Referee Magazine. They did a survey. Most of it were high school and college officials that replied, over 35,000. The average age group in high school officials in Kentucky last year for football was 58 years old. My average age for my 40 officials in my association is actually almost 60. It's 59.7 something. And if it wasn't for my two 22-year-olds, yeah. it would have pulled it down. But there's a couple interesting stats. The worst sportsmanship or levels of sportsmanship out of 100%, 49%, 49.7% of that 35,000 said the worst places to go referee were youth competitive. The next one was high school, which is 19.3, and then college is 1.89. They're all pretty far away, and the crowds are big, so you don't hear much.
Right.
And they've got protection. When I leave the softball field, I go straight to the locker room, and there's a security person walking me from the field to the locker room in the spring. The problems with sportsmanship, 40% out of the whole group tested said it was the parents. 23.5% fans, and 24% coaches. So you had 89% of the sportsmanship was parents, coaches, and fans. But a bigger issue now is how many are going to leave out of that 35,000? How many of them thought they would still be officiating by the year 2025? The survey was done early in 23. 45% said they wouldn't be officiating in 2 years.
Well, that's going to lead us to another shortage then. So
yeah, in football, we see games Friday or Thursday. Julian's already addressed that as of yesterday, one team was not going to play in the playoffs. So it eliminated one game. So there's down to 95 games next Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
There were 430 officials registered in the state of Kentucky. Most of us don't like to use a first-year official in the playoffs. Plus, you always have an official or two that they're good for middle school. They love what they're doing, but they don't want to work on Friday night.
Yeah.
So Julian told last year there were 17 schools that wanted seven in the first round. They didn't have to have them. This year there's already 20 games that are scheduled that want the seven-man crew. And so schools, South Warren, whoever they're playing in the first round of the playoffs, they've already moved their game to Thursday night.
Okay.
Then you've got Graves, Madisonville, and Owensboro Senior that are in a three-way tie in their district, and the RPI won't be decided till Friday night, and they're all within a point of each other.
Right.
So they won't know until Saturday morning when it comes in whether they're going to who they're going to play. And then they have to move a game if they. And last year, some of these like Davis County's playing North Hardin again, and that was a seven-man game last year for us to assign. All of that to say, if there's people out there that have an interest in the fall, it's volleyball, soccer, girls and boys, and it's football. In the winter, it's wrestling and girls and boys basketball.
Mm-hmm.
In the spring is when this region has its worst shortage. Baseball umpires last year, I think Matt had 13 umpires, and he had 16 schools. And Boogie's got softball, of course, and he had a few more umpires, but the same number of schools.
Yeah.
And there were several games last year that were one man. And it'd be great if we could increase our numbers, especially in our area. That's who we're concerned about is the signers.
Now, if somebody's interested in officiating, they can just contact you?
If they want to contact me, Todd, that's great. I can put them in touch with whoever. Or if they go on the KHSA website, up at the very top, there's a thing that says officials, and if you hit that box, it gives you a drop-down box, and it'll say assigners. And you click on assigners, it gives you a if you click on football, it'll say Joe Lewis in the first region, Jay Davis in the second, Brad Phipps in the third region, and Chris Fields in the fourth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the contact information is there. Dwayne Crick is the high school assigner for basketball here, and I'm not sure who the wrestling person is now. But that's all on that website, but I'd be glad to help somebody negotiate that as well.
Okay.
Princeton has had officials over the years. I mean, I was here for a while in 72 and had just gotten into officiating then and came back. Brent Stallings refereed football for years, was on a great crew, did a state championship game. David Young is I have a new football official that signed up this year. Rodney Bell didn't sign up till late, but he came to games and and mirrored people out here at games, and we feel like he's really going to be a good addition for us. And Rodney's registered for basketball, so he's going to back years ago after Fort Brand Sr. quit coaching, he started refereeing and junior refereed. He doesn't do any high school anymore, but we've had some, and like a lot of them, Todd, we've got some that really do a good job from their seats.
Yeah.
And
well, why don't you guys just sit in the stands? That's the best place to officiate from.
Oh,
right?
I guarantee you, it's a still view. You're not trying to run up and down the field and see a moving target either. But it is something that I've been licensed since I was in college, because I took a college officiating class. And we don't have the luxury of Western and Murray don't even have college officiating classes anymore. Mm. But when the universities were involved, we're trying to work with Kentucky Tech and all the JUCOs, our junior colleges, excuse me, community colleges, and see if we can initiate a program. And then the Kentucky High School Athletic Association has just hired another person to supervise officiating, but there's also going to be a curriculum program that is going to be available to high schools and community colleges. It's a 6 weeks class to learn about officiating different sports that's going to be out there too.
Well, I appreciate you coming in today and sharing the information with us, and hopefully there are some people out there that will jump in and, you know, kind of pick up the slack and become high school officials.
We'd love to have them. Love to have them, Todd. Thank you. Sorry to run over.
No, you're good. That's Jay Davis. So we're going to talk to Chip Hutchison next on the show, so stay with us as we roll on here on the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Now's the time to make sure you and your family are financially taken care of for life. Call Josh Ray with Woodman Life at 270-625-0307.
Your Weather Edge Weather Center forecast: an overnight low 57, mostly cloudy skies by this afternoon, partly sunny, high of 70. South winds could be as high as 15 to 20 miles an hour. Thursday night, a 30% chance of showers, mainly after midnight, mostly cloudy, low of 64. Friday, a 50-50 coin flip for showers and thunder showers pretty much throughout the entire day, mostly cloudy skies, high of 77. Southwest winds could be as high as 20 to 25 miles an hour. But back to right now, an overnight low of 57 by this afternoon, partly sunny, 79 degrees.
Financial planning should be specific to you and your life circumstances. That is why we created InvestFB Wealth Management, a division of Farmers Bank. Hi, I'm Jeff McDaniels, InvestFB's lead financial advisor. Whether you're saving for retirement, starting a business, or planning your family's future, our individual and comprehensive approach can help you achieve your financial goals. Visit us today at our Princeton or Eddyville offices to start a conversation about your individual financial needs.
At Tricios, they're ordering it your way. How would you like to have a vehicle built just for you? Little things are important, like rich colors, big screens and displays, almost like watching TV. Exteriors with beautiful style and powerful engines that respond to the lightest touch on the accelerator. It's time to get what you want. Order your new ride and feel the thrill when you drive off the lot. Tricios in Princeton is the one-stop shop for everything your vehicle needs. For more information, visit tricios.com. That's tricios.com.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. Joining us now on the show is former publisher of the Princeton Leader and then the Times Leader, Chip Hutchison, joins us on the show. And Chip, good morning. Welcome to the Sideline Report.
Well, good morning, Todd. Glad to be with you, and always glad to talk about Caldwell County football.
Yeah, tell us what you're doing these days.
Working at Kentucky Baptist Convention. We moved here to Louisville in April of 2019. I, of course, had retired from the Times Leader at the end of June in 2017 to enter the ministry, and Kentucky Baptist Convention called and asked if I would like to move, and we never expected to leave our home in Princeton, but we did. And so, working in communications, we have a online news website that's free, Kentucky Today. So I write for that and then get to visit with churches and pastors across the state. So really is nice, but certainly we miss Princeton and Caldwell County.
Well, you mentioned football there, and of course the whole family, I think, is going to be here Friday night.
Yes, I think we're certainly planning on it. I pick our two youngest grandsons up from school. They get out at 2:15 Louisville time, and we'll head straight to Princeton. Looking forward to a great night. Looks like the last I checked the weather, looks like it's going to cooperate. So the Hall of Fame night's always a very special night.
Absolutely. And John Mark is going to go into the Hall of Fame this year.
Yes, and you and I have celebrated all those people in the past who have gone into the Hall of Fame, and you and I, Todd, both are very privileged to be in that group, not for our football abilities, but for our sports writing and sports reporting, and what an honor. I'm just so tickled that John Mark is going to be inducted. He had a, you know, just a wonderful career at Caldwell, and we have so many great memories of those years that he played football in Princeton.
Yeah, I believe John Mark was one of the leading tacklers when he graduated.
He was. I think he was the leading career tackler at that time. Of course, others have gotten more tackles and have moved up on the list, but we always credit his wrestling career as helping him to be a good tackler. I think a rule of thumb is if you're a good wrestler, you can be a good tackler.
Yeah. Well, you were still covering the Tigers back then. What are some memories you have of covering those games and watching John Mark play?
Oh, you know, they were great. John Mark was never blessed as being a speedster, but he was a very determined athlete. He, between his freshman and sophomore years, he, of his own accord, and nobody pressing him or pushing him, he really took a serious approach to working out. He became much stronger and was able to then start as a sophomore, mainly as a defensive player. As a junior, he started to play some offense, and junior, senior year was on offense as well, running the ball, being a receiver. But I especially remember him on the defensive side of the ball, played defensive end and played linebacker. I remember, you know, there are so many great, you know, just great moments. I think the one that is indelibly etched into my mind is after that first playoff game, his senior season. And Todd, you were there, you remember. Caldwell beat Breckinridge County 20-14.
Yeah.
It was a game at Breckinridge County, and it was Coles that night. And Karen and I went up onto the field right after the game, and he reminded me of the typical linebacker. He had blood coming down his face, running down his nose. And he just looked at us and grinned. He said, "Dad, ain't it great?" And just to have that playoff win was such a great memory for me and for us. And of course, they lost the following week to Fort Campbell, who had beaten Caldwell in the regular season. But the other memory that I have that's so vivid is his sophomore year. He was playing defensive end, and Fort Campbell came in, and Fort Campbell just had a great team. That was a great run that they had when Marshall Patterson was the head coach. I'd gotten to know Coach Patterson real well, one of the classiest gentlemen in the game, but he had some great teams. And Fort Campbell came into Princeton, and I think the expectation was is that Fort Campbell would win. Caldwell pulled off the upset, won 7-3. I remember, of course, John H. Stevens was the quarterback. Threw a pass to Mark McAllister, and that was the only touchdown in the game. But there in the fourth quarter, Fort Campbell was driving, and they ran a reverse play. And John Mark was the only player there who has stayed in position, and he made a flying tackle on the Fort Campbell player that was everybody said that was a play that won the game. Now, it's a team game, but that was a huge play. And for a sophomore to make a play like that was great. I remember Sheila Gates going up to us after the game and said, "You need to buy him a steak dinner for making that tackle."
Yeah.
So, you know, just again, those memories are so great when you see that your son has success and that he loves what he does. And certainly he loves that. He had great relationships with those coaches, of course, with Pat Yates, Larry Curling, the late Richie Hughes, DT, Dennis Tomic was coach there, Carol Boyd, and then Will Brown. And he had that relationship with Will Brown, who was also the wrestling coach. And so Will's always been a great supporter and fan of John Marks. And I know Will's looking forward, as is Pat Yates and the others, of seeing him on Hall of Fame night.
Well, and John Mark played during a pretty good run for Tiger football, too.
Yes, he did. You know, they had some great, great athletes, great players, and you know, they were 6-3 that, 6-5 his sophomore year, 6-5 then his junior year, and then they were 6-6. But those players helped form the nucleus for that state championship team. They had some players. You had Gerald Fuqua on that team. You know, Dean Sears, who was a great kicker. He was second team All-State kicker that year. Just some great individuals. I look back, and a name that pops out to me, Bob Hudson, was on that team. Of course, Bob has moved away from Princeton, but I saw him at the Crittenden County game last Friday night, and Bob came over. He had seen me walk in and met his two sons. Jason Asher was on that team. I got to know Jason, of course, real well because he was on the wrestling team. Kelly Davis, who was on that state championship team, so many others that went on to win a state championship. So and Stuart Childress was on that team. Bradley Stallings, who's now calling plays for the offense for Caldwell. Just a great group of young men. And I think John Mark was very blessed to have that kind of those kind of teammates with him.
Well, it's another strong group of Hall of Famers this year. You've got John Mark Hutchison, Paul Copeland, David Fagan, Mo Hollowell, Ricky Robinson, Craig Wyatt, and then Frankie Brown, who's in his 28th year as the PA announcer out at Tiger Stadium.
Yes, you know, that is a great group. And, of course, the one name that you said, I know Paul Copeland, who has just done so well in life and what an example to other people. Frankie Brown, I think, is the best football announcer in certainly in that part of the state. Perhaps I don't know announcers in other parts of the state, but Frankie does such a great job, and I love the way he calls games. I have had great fun over the years of Frankie and I poking fun at each other, but certainly he is deserving of that honor. And he does such a great job announcing games. He knows what he's doing. He knows the sport. Just does a super job announcing games.
Well, and Craig Wyatt was on that 98 state championship team. Ricky Robinson had a big touchdown against Mayfield in Coach G's last game, the big win down there at Mayfield.
Oh, yes, and that's a game that, you know, you and I certainly remember, and so many other people, and the players calling, carrying Coach G off the field on their shoulders. Great night. And Ricky Robinson was, yes, a very key player on that team. You know, Caldwell County has been blessed with so many, not only great football players, but great people. And people who cherish their days there in Princeton, their high school days, and created lasting memories and great memories for so many of us who did not have the ability to play football.
Mo Hollowell was a great receiver for the Tigers. David Fagan, one of those great linemen. If you look back through Tiger football history, I mean, even going back to Butler, you can always find great linemen at Caldwell County and then at Butler before that.
Yes, you sure can. And, you know, linemen don't get the acclaim and the glory most times that your skill players, your running backs, your receivers, your quarterbacks get, but Caldwell has been so blessed with some great linemen. I think, you know, of course, I go back to my high school days and that line that we had in 1963. I was a sophomore in high school that year, and you had people like Kerry Curling, Tommy Atwood, and others on that line. Of course, Kerry went on to start for UK, and Tommy Atwood was a standout player at Western and was considering a pro career. Of course, he went into ministry. But yes, Caldwell has produced some great linemen over the years.
Yeah, just some great players. And, you know, again, Hall of Fame night's coming up Friday. It's going to be a busy night out at Tiger Stadium. We'll have senior night recognition. We'll have the Hall of Fame class honored. And then Chip, Trigg County comes in for the 139 bowl game. It's the 11th 139 bowl. But so far, that 139 bowl traveling trophy stayed in Princeton.
Yes, it has. And, you know, of course, Caldwell's having a tough year. They're young. They struggle, but my hope is that this will be win number one, and we're sure hoping that Caldwell County can pull that out. Of course, Todd, as you know, I've got a grandson that starts for Caldwell, and yes, I'm hoping that 139 trophy stays with Caldwell County.
Yeah, 0-9 this season, Triggs 2-7 coming over, but the Wildcats have some injuries, a little banged up, so it's going to be an interesting matchup. Caldwell County does have a playoff game, but it's a tough one up at Owensboro Catholic next week. Trigg County's done after this week, so, Chip, I'm guessing the Tigers are going to get Trigg County's best shot this week.
Yes, I would say so. And of course, that's been a strong rivalry over the years. Marty Jaggers came over to me and talked during the Crittenden game last week, and he started recalling some of those games when he was quarterback for Trigg and his dad was coaching Trigg County, and we had some remembrances. I covered both Trigg and Caldwell that year when I was sports editor at the New Era in Hopkinsville, and that series has had a great history, and I do hope Caldwell can get on the winning track, and that would be nice going into the game at OCAT the following week. You never know what to expect, but I think Caldwell will be ready for this one.
We're talking this morning with Chip Hutchison, former publisher of the Princeton Leader and then the Times Leader. We need to get to a break here on the show, but we'll come back and have more of the Sideline Report right after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Farless Realty is your local real estate office. Their experienced agents understand the market and are ready to help you find the perfect home. Farless Realty, 323 South Jefferson Street, Princeton, 270-365-5058.
Your WeatherEdge Weather Center forecast, an overnight low of 57, mostly cloudy skies by this afternoon. It's going to be partly sunny with a high near 79. South winds could be as high as 15 to 20 miles an hour. Thursday night, a 30% chance of showers after midnight, mostly cloudy, low of 64. And then on Friday, a 50-50 shot for showers and thunder showers. Pretty much throughout the entire day, mostly cloudy skies, high of 77. But back to right now, an overnight low of 57 by this afternoon, partly sunny and 79.
If you're involved in an auto accident, it's your choice where your vehicle is repaired. Some insurance companies refer you to Pro Shops because they give the insurance company discounts. But with those discounts, the insurance company has input on the parts used and might not always use what is best. At Trice Used Body Shop, they're not partnered with an insurance company, but they give the same lifetime limited warranty to the person who owns the vehicle at the time of repairs. Visit Trice Used in Princeton for your vehicle repairs.
Hey, Joe, how's the fishing?
Man, they're just not biting.
Well, get in the truck, and I'm going to take you to my favorite fishing hole.
All right, I can't wait.
This is it.
A restaurant? I thought you were taking me fishing.
Here, man, the fish are always biting, it's always delicious, and I don't have to clean it, cook it, or clean up my mess. The wife loves it.
You know what, Bill? You're a lot smarter than you look.
Willow Pond of Eddyville, where they've been serving up the finest fish for over 30 years. Located on Highway 62, Eddyville, Kentucky. Like them on Facebook.
WPKY Princeton.
We are back on the Sideline Report here at 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Chip Hutchison joining us this morning. And Chip, any way to figure out how many ball games you've been to through the years? I mean, at UK and your time at the Kentucky New Era and, of course, at the newspaper here, would you even have a guess as to how many ball games you've seen?
You know, Todd, I don't. You know, I had from 19, of course, when I was sports editor at the New Era, I covered a lot of Caldwell games, saw a lot of games, covered some games for the Princeton Leader when my dad still owned it, when I was in high school. And then whenever I come home in college, I got to see a few games. From 1976 up until probably the early 2000s, I didn't miss a game. So you add those plus all the ones, had the opportunity to cover so many UK football games. I was sports editor of the college paper under John Ray when he was named coach, and so I had the opportunity to know and work with Charlie Bradshaw and then Coach Ray, and Coach Ray became a good friend. Coach Ray even invited me and to bring a date to a Christmas party at his house my senior year. So, yeah, I would hate that. You know, that'd be a good project for me sometime if I ever get the time to go back and try to come up with a rough estimate. But I sure value those years that I covered Caldwell County. It was, you know, with Coach G. Well, let's begin with Coach Clayton and then, of course, Coach G, then Pat Gates. Those were the three that I worked the most with. And I can remember going over to Coach G's house most every Sunday, either afternoon or after church on Sunday night, and we talk about the previous game and preview of the upcoming game, so I could write a preview for the Wednesday paper. And just again, it was not just a job; it was the friendship that I had and a love for Caldwell County football. And you can cross this state, and there are a lot of great programs, but Caldwell County has had classy coaches, classy players, and created so many memories for all of us who have followed them for these years. You know, Todd, I would be remiss if I did not comment on the football book that you wrote and put together in 2010. If anybody's not seen that, they need to get a copy of it. You and I think both have some copies of that book.
Yes. Yeah.
And I love it. I'll grab it every once in a while and just look back. A few years ago, actually, that would have been about, a few years ago, we had our 50th class reunion. That would have been in 2016. And I took some of those books in for my classmates in 1966 that were at that reunion and gone away from Princeton for years. And I said, anybody wants a book, you can have one. And they were thrilled with seeing that book and the memories that it elicited from them. So many great comments. And so, Todd, thank you for the just diligence that you had and tenacity in putting that book together. The photos are great. And also the year-by-year account of every game in Butler and Caldwell County history. And so I cannot thank you enough for the work that you did in putting that book together. It's a history that we need. You know, we're losing our history, not just in Caldwell County, but across our state. And you created a lasting memory. So I've thanked you before about it, but I want to publicly thank you for the great work you did in putting that football book together.
Well, I appreciate that, and it just doesn't feel like it was 13 or 14 years ago, that's all.
I know, and that's, you think 2010, and look at all that's happened. So, Todd, you're still young and got a lot of energy. You can put together a sequel to that book one of these days.
Well, we need to get an updated stat list out there because, like I said, the book came out around 2010. Well, that was about the same time Elijah Sindelar showed up at Caldwell County, and he broke every record, I think, that was in that book.
I think so. And, you know, now a lot of times, especially if they can go deep into the playoffs, you're going to have a lot more records broken. You mentioned Elijah Sindelar. I find it very intriguing as I cross this state, and I've been in churches as far as on the Kentucky-West Virginia border to far west Kentucky. And different places I go, I was at the Kentucky Basketball Hall of Fame induction in August when Greg Smith was inducted. And as I talked to a few people, I had and I have this happen periodically. I say, and people say, "Hey, who was that quarterback several years ago?" Well, it's been more than several now, that was so good. And Mike Fields was one of them who said, "I remember going to Princeton and talking to that quarterback, and what was his name?" And I'll say Elijah Sindelar, and they'll say, "Yes, that's who it was." And he created an impression on people, a very positive impression on people across the state. So Caldwell County football has a deep footprint in the history of Kentucky high school football.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a Mr. Football there, and on top of two state championships, a state runner-up, so and no telling how many players went on to play college football someplace.
Oh, yes, and I mean, you're talking about in the days that I think back into the 60s when I mentioned Terry Curling, but you also had Bill Henry Cartwright, who played at UK. You had Garnet Scott, who a quarterback, attended there his freshman year before transferring away. You know, major schools playing in the SEC, and you know, the people like the Tommy Atwoods and others that went to Western, and we've had a number who played at Murray. They've gone to a number of places. We have a lot more football playing schools now than we did back then, and we've had a number who've gone to Kentucky Wesleyan, to Campbellsville. So yes, we've created, and I say we, Caldwell County has certainly placed a lot of people in colleges, and and the football program has enabled those players to go ahead and get a college education, and I'm thankful for that.
You mentioned Greg Smith earlier, and that just reminded me one of the greatest days was this past basketball season when Western Kentucky University retired the jersey number of Dwight Smith. I mean, that was a great day at Western Kentucky that day.
It was, and I enjoyed, you and I got to spend some time, but we saw people that we hadn't seen for a long time. It was great to see Greg, and great to see Sheila, his sister. Let's face it, anybody that knows the Smith family reveres them. They have been such a great asset to Princeton and Caldwell County over the years. I got the opportunity to see Greg in August, and Greg was his, you know, Greg has stardom. He started on NBA championship team, but he's as genuine as can be. There's no arrogance. There's no pretense to him. And we sat down and talked like, went, you know, just as old friends. And Greg is struggling with Parkinson's, but that doesn't get him down. He was still able to travel from Portland, Oregon to attend that and accept that honor. He told me he likes to come back once every year. And when he does, he'll visit friends in Princeton. He'll go and visit Sheila in Paducah, where she lives. And again, Greg played on that 63 state championship football team, in addition to leading the Tigers to the second region championship and then on to play in the state tournament, where they lost a heartbreaker to Breckinridge County. And Butch Beard, who hit the winning shot that beat Caldwell, that's for Breckinridge County. Butch is a good friend of Greg's. They talk periodically, at least once a month. So that's the value of sports. You create friendships, not just within your team, but even among your competitors. We've certainly seen that with John Mark in his wrestling career. He runs into people every now and then that wrestle for opposing high school, and even in his college career, people he wrestled against in colleges. And you have that camaraderie that you don't get in any other way. So, I'm just so thankful that I have those Caldwell County roots. Thankful to say that you and I, Todd, are both members of the Caldwell Football Hall of Fame, and so thankful now that my son is going to be in that group as well.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to John Mark, and I'm glad we had time to sit and talk about it, and I'll see you out here Friday night.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate it. And I want to commend you again on the great work that you're doing covering sports for WPKY. Thank you for your hard work.
All right. Thanks, Chip.
Bye.
Again, that's Chip Hutchison, former publisher of the Princeton Leader and the Times Leader here in Princeton. Appreciate him joining us on the Sideline Report this morning. Also, thanks earlier to Jay Davis for coming in and being on the show. It's a busy Friday night at Tiger Stadium this week. The Tigers hosting Trigg County for the annual 139 Bowl. It's senior night. It's Hall of Fame night. Be sure to get out there and check out the Tiger football team taking on Trigg County. Kickoff time, 7 o'clock. And a regional volleyball championship tonight at the Community Activities Building, University Heights and Crittenden County. That match starts at 6 o'clock. That's going to wrap us up this morning on the Sideline Report. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for being with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY.